It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Federal law enforcement officers arrested a Milwaukee judge late last week, and federal prosecutors filed two felony charges.
The prosecutors allege that Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan obstructed an attempt by federal law enforcement to detain a defendant in the courthouse. That happened after agents of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the FBI, and the DEA came to the court with an administrative arrest warrant.
A federal arrest of a sitting judge is unusual, and constitutional law experts have raised concerns over the decision to arrest and charge the Milwaukee judge.
Howard Schwaber is a professor emeritus of political science at UW-Madison, affiliate of the UW Law School. Howard, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Before we dig into the particulars, Howard, a state judge arrested by federal law enforcement charged with felonies. How unusual is this?
It's unusual. It's not completely unprecedented. During Trump's first term, the 2016 to 2020 term, a judge in Massachusetts was arrested on very similar grounds for impeding deportation efforts. Outside of Trump presidencies, it's really quite unusual. On the other hand, it's unusual to have state judges get themselves directly involved in federal law enforcement operations. And it's unusual to have those law enforcement operations take place in state courthouses. So every dimension of this is unusual.
Let's look at some of the response here. Republicans in Wisconsin and around the country saying, hey, no one's above the law. The judge, as the prosecutors lay things out here, did interfere with this effort to arrest someone. Therefore, she is liable to charges. Is there something to that? Is this maybe just the justice system working the way it should, given what the judge is alleged to have done?
Well, we have to separate the law, the politics, and the policy here. Legally, if the allegations are true, and of course, all I have to go on are the allegations as stated by the federal government, it looks like the judge committed a crime. So according to the narrative that the government is presenting, agents identified themselves to the judge and said that they had a warrant for the arrest of someone who is appearing in her courtroom. They did not interrupt the hearing. They just informed her. She, again, according to the allegations, moved that guy's proceeding to the head of the calendar, then canceled it without informing the lawyer for the U.S. government that had happened, who was there in the courtroom ready to go, then walked him off to a side entrance that led to a non-public hallway used by juries and told him to go out that way in order to avoid federal agents. Now, if all of that is true, and that's the whole story, then that was a crime. And, you know, there's a certain irony in supporters of Donald Trump declaring that no one is above the law. But as a general statement, that's certainly valid. So we can start on the bare legal side of things by saying, yes, the feds have, according to the allegations, a good case that this judge committed a crime, and people who commit crimes ought to face punishment. The problem is that the politics and the policy get much messier and much more complicated.
How do the politics make this messier?
Well, so the politics go back to the point you raised at the outset that this is unusual. They caught the guy, right? The judge did not succeed in the nefarious attempt to help him escape. It is unusual to have federal authorities arresting state court judges. And politically, this could very well be a sign of a significant locus of resistance that is to the Trump deportation policies. That is, state and local judges may turn out to be an unexpected line of resistance to that policy. We see this especially that another Wisconsin judge, Monica Isham, has said that unless she gets guidance from the state about how her courtroom will be protected against infringement from federal agents, she will effectively go on strike and shut down her courtroom. If this became a widespread thing, this could become a real political problem arguably for both sides. But certainly it could be a real problem for trying to enforce the deportations that the Trump administration wants to do. It could, of course, backfire and politically be a problem for Democrats if they support these judges. It just has a very, it's yet another flashpoint of conflict in a political environment that is absolutely full of them. And as a matter of judgment, political judgment, perhaps the Trump Department of Justice might want to think twice about intruding its agents into courtrooms just for that reason.
And this, the making these arrests in courtrooms has been controversial, and also churches, school grounds, things like that. The concern that if people who are whose immigration status is in question in any way fear arrest, they won't show up at courtrooms, and that's going to create further problems, maybe even for public safety. Is that a policy you'd like to see reviewed, or you think ought to be reviewed and maybe reconsidered?
Right. So that's the policy dimension. That's exactly right. And there are really a couple of different things going on. One is there are some illegal immigrants who have, do commit crimes and are threats to public safety. If you cannot bring them to court, if you can't get them to come to court, if every single one of them has to be chased down, right, that makes it much harder to enforce relevant laws. And we're not necessarily talking about murder and kidnapping, but we could be talking about, you know, drunk driving or domestic violence or any number of things that courts are effective at dealing with if the parties involved, you know, fear the consequences of missing a court hearing more than showing up. This policy, for anyone who's here unlawfully or whose status is in any way questionable, keeping in mind all the Biden administration rules allowing people to be in the country that are not being lifted. So if your status is even unclear, you know, this is a policy that discourages people from showing up to court. More generally, it's a policy that drives everybody underground. And that goes to the arrests in churches as well. And the more you drive this population underground, the more difficult it is to find them, the more draconian the police tactics have to be in order to find them. And assuming the president remains committed to rooting out as many illegal immigrants as possible, as his press secretary suggested this morning, right, this is yet again an approach that ratchets up the degree of conflict and the degree of, well, potentially violence that's involved in carrying out this policy.
We're talking about the arrest of Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan, charged with attempting to obstruct ICE agents and concealing an individual. Our guest is Howard Schwaber, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at UW-Madison, affiliate of the UW Law School. I want to share a quote here from J. Michael Luttig, conservative former U.S. Appeals Court judge. Quote, "The obvious purpose of the arrest of Judge Dugan on criminal charges is to intimidate and threaten all judges, state and local, across the country." End quote. Luttig, again, a longtime conservative judge, connecting this issue to calls to impeach judges who rule against some of President Trump's executive orders, or calls even in some cases from the Speaker of the House to defund courts that don't support President Trump's orders. Do you think it's fair to connect those dots, Howard?
Well, first of all, I think it's really important for your listeners to realize that Luttig is not just a conservative. He is one of the most prominent conservative jurists who was talked about as a potential Supreme Court justice during the presidency of George W. Bush. So this statement coming from him is really quite significant. I actually would make a distinction that Luttig does not, between federal judges and state judges. Up until now, the Trump administration has gone to great lengths to try to intimidate and coerce federal judges into carrying out their rulings into ruling in their favor, right? I mean, really quite literally threatening judges with impeachment or shutting down their courts, as you said, in response to rulings that on legal grounds the Trump administration doesn't like. This is somewhat different. These are state court judges. Judge Dugan didn't make a ruling, right? Mm-hmm. She engaged in an illegal act. So I think it's, on the one hand, yes, I think it's, Luttig is absolutely right that it's part and parcel of an interbranch warfare where the executive is trying to cow the judiciary with a Congress firmly in the Trump administration's pocket. The federal judiciary in particular is the only branch of government left that might cause him problems. And the Supreme Court has recently, for the first time, sort of given signs that it might actually get in his way a little bit. State court judges, I think this is less a matter of intimidating judges specifically, and more a matter of intimidating state and local officials. It's not a coincidence that at this morning's press briefing, one of the announcements was an executive order publicizing towns, cities, states that are operating as sanctuary cities or that are not cooperating in law enforcement. I think that's a different front, and it's an attempt to prompt threats and embarrassment to state and local officials, including judges, but not only or specifically judges. That may backfire. Again, the politics of this is complicated. Members of Congress have to run for re-election in their districts. And there are some districts where people who have elected Republican members of Congress nonetheless do not love the idea of immigrants being sent to prisons in El Salvador or raids taking place in churches. So again, the Trump administration is politically playing this for maximum conflict based on an absolute confidence that they have support wherever they go. And I'm not at all sure that confidence is warranted.
In our last minute or so, Howard, I want to zoom in on one point as Judge Dugan's legal process now will go forward. The argument about a distinction between an administrative warrant, which these immigration officials appear to have had, versus a judicial warrant signed by a judge. Judge Dugan objected, saying they needed a judicial warrant to do what they want to do. Is there an argument here saying, hey, you didn't have the warrant this judge feels you needed in the courtroom, therefore there wasn't a legitimate arrest attempt happening, and there's no case? That's, I think, something that may be argued, at least.
Right. So again, I think this is more a political than a legal argument. Administrative warrants refer to warrants that are issued by federal agencies or federal officials rather than being signed off on by a judge. They do not require the same level of probable cause showing that a traditional judicial warrant requires. And there's a really good argument that they shouldn't exist under the Fourth Amendment. But they do exist, and courts have held they are enforceable and consistently. And courts have consistently held that people may be arrested on the basis of administrative warrants. So if I can draw a parallel, the Trump administration has made a positive habit of defying and violating federal laws and explaining their action by saying, well, we think those laws are unconstitutional, and we think that the Supreme Court will side with us when that question finally reaches them. One reading is that Judge Dugan is trying to make this, would be trying to make the same kind of argument by saying administrative warrants are unenforceable. Again, you know, in the long run, that might be a winning constitutional argument. At present, it is not a strong legal argument.
Howard, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
That's Howard Schwaber, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at UW-Madison and affiliate of the UW Law School. He joined us for a look at the arrest and prosecution of Milwaukee Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan.